have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I...
Praise the Lord, he lives. Thank you, Jesus. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost do in the text as only he can do. Bring life, understanding, illumination to your word. And then God, let us see how it applies to us, to strengthen us, to help us, to develop us. And God would be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, verse 1, we shall commence reading. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Verse 5 says, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. I want to talk for just a little while from the subject, wrong place, wrong time. Wrong place, wrong time. My brothers and sisters, as we hear the historical account of Jesus Christ's resurrection experience, there are some things I'd certainly like to point out in the text to help with clarity and understanding of how this situation develops and help us to understand how sometimes we can have wonderful intentions. We can mean well, have a desire to do well, and without the knowledge or the revelation of the truth, we can still find ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. One of the things that you'll note if you went back to that 23rd chapter of Luke and discovered how Jesus Christ had died, and then after he had died, there was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea who had a tomb. And he had gotten the tomb for himself and his family, and yet he was one who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he followed him, but he did so in a hidden kind of way. He was a secret lover of Jesus. He did not confess his love publicly and carry it forth publicly. And so it is at this time that we hear Jesus dying, and then after he dies, again, the Bible says, and behold, verse 50 in 23rd chapter says, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them, meaning he didn't agree to put Jesus to death. He wasn't a part of that group. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. The Bible says, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. Now this cave, if you will, this grave, this tomb was hewn out of stone. And so as he had it prepared for himself and his family, no one had ever used this grave or this cave or this burial place up until this time. Now because his love was so great for the Lord Jesus Christ, now whether or not it is clear that he loved Jesus, whether or not he believed that Jesus would ever rise from the dead again, is not literally written here in Scripture. But what is clear is that the place that he gave to Jesus was a place of honor because it was one that he had prepared for himself and for his family. And notice what he says, verse 54 says, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how, which means where, his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. Now, this might make not much sense to many of us because we don't live in the times and customs of Jesus. But what you'll understand was when they had taken the body down that Friday evening, and Joseph begged the body of Jesus from Pilate, he took it. The women who had come from Galilee with him had seen where Jesus would be buried. They had already, because the sun was already going down, which started their Sabbath day, they could not do any embalming. They could not put the spices on his body. They could not do any work. So at least what they wanted to do was to go and find out where he would be buried. And after they discovered where he was buried, they went back to Galilee and prepared for his burial. But what they don't understand is Jesus had already been prepared for his burial. Matter of fact, when he was at dinner, a woman by the name of Mary took a very precious bottle of ointment, spikenard they called it, and she anointed him. And Jesus said, she has done this for my burial. And so that was already the preparations that they didn't see and they didn't know, but yet nonetheless they desired to do this for him. So when they went back home and they rested that Sabbath day, they wanted to come back and do what they purposed to do that day that Jesus rose. Now, when we move on to the text, then we understand it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. No doubt when they were preparing the spices, they said, well, we couldn't do it Friday, but we're certainly going to do it this morning because we love the Lord. And so many, as they talked, decided they would go there with him to see Jesus laying in the grave. The only problem with that was Jesus had said on many occasions that he was not going to be there that Sunday morning. That resurrection morning. And it shows you how people can be listening to you and still not hearing you. They heard his words, but that did not resonate, that did not become clear underneath the skin that Jesus Christ, yes, he did predict his death, but he didn't stop there. He predicted his resurrection as well. But how often is it that we stop at the tragedy of a situation? We stop at the bad parts of a situation. We stop at that part that seems the darkest and the dimmest, but we don't move on to the brightest and the best. And that was the resurrection experience. Oh, my brothers and sisters, so many of us who experience troubles and trials and tribulations in this world. Yes, Jesus said we would, if we lived in this world, experience those things. But we stop at that part. We moan and we find ourselves depressed and oppressed in the places where we're tested and tried and troubled at, instead of moving on to the point where Jesus said, I have overcome the world and ye shall overcome it also. Some of us are still right now worried about this and worried about that, brought down low because of this and brought down low because of that. We're sorrowing in our spirits because of this and sorrowing in our spirits because of that, when Jesus has dealt with our grief and our sorrow. But we stop at those places where the Lord has moved on. So look at the women now. Look at the word. Verse 2 says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. So they're going there, and one of the other writers suggests that their problem in part of discussion was who will roll away the stone for us. I want to throw out a word parenthetically for you, but listen, if you do what you're supposed to do, let God take care of the rest. Some of us add troubles to our situation. We worry about stuff we ought not worry about. Rolling the stone was never the women's job. What their job was to do was to anoint him. And so that's what they were going there for. But the stone was rolled away.
not so the women could go in, but so that Jesus could come out. You remember when Lazarus was dead, don't you? Jesus didn't roll the stone away. He wasn't in the stone rolling business. He left that up to folk that was just used to rolling stones. And they rolled the stone away, and Jesus stood in all of his majesty and all of his authority and simply called the name of one resident. And he got up when he heard his, he was dead. 4 days, decomposure has set in. And yet in the midst of that, at the calling of his name by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that decomposure had to decompose. Release his body and let him go back to what he was. And when Lazarus came forth, Jesus didn't deal with that. I want to tell you, Jesus, and I've said it to you so many times before, never liked death. Never liked funerals. Search the record. I can't find a funeral message that Jesus preached. Are y'all listening to me today? I say you search the record. I search it. You ain't going to find Jesus preaching. No, sir. Here we go. Jairus' daughter. He was there ministering the word. Jairus came and said, listen, Jesus, you need to come to my house. My daughter is sick and she's about to die. Jesus said, okay, I'll be there in just a moment. And he finishes his message and he heads on to Jairus' house. But as he was coming there, they sent news and said, listen, don't even worry about coming. She's already dead. Jesus said, now I got to pick up my pace. And he gets there, and when he gets there, those professional mourners had already come and started mourning and carrying on. Jesus looked at them and said, Lord Jesus. He puts them out the room. Get out. Get, move on out of here. And he says, because listen, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. They started laughing in unbelief. He had them put out, and he raised that daughter from the dead. Well, then, you know, the widow's son of Nain. Jesus was coming in town. They were going out of town. There she was weeping behind the casket, and there he was lying in the casket. He stopped the processional. I tell you, if Jesus would have kept this business up, he'd have put funeral folk out of business. He put his hand on the casket and he told the boy, get on up from there. And he quickly rose up from the dead, jumped out of the casket and went on back home with his mama and took care of her. But then his good friend Lazarus, listen, whom he loved. And he fellowshipped with that family oftentimes in Bethany. And they called for him and said, listen, the one you love is dying. You need to get here quick. But Jesus delayed his coming. Why? Because he had already proven he ain't got to rush when he's the resurrection. And so he delayed his trip. And so when he got there, they were mad with him in attitude because they figured they had special privileges. And Jesus was showing them, yes, you do, but it ain't in the way you think you have them. He said, I want to show you how much I love Lazarus. He lets Lazarus die. It would have been an easier thing to heal him. But a far more difficult thing to raise him from the dead. And so when he goes there and he again calls him out and he calls him up. But what I really want you to know is that he really didn't resurrect Lazarus. He caused Lazarus to resurface. Y'all not hearing me. Because Lazarus died again. Once you've been resurrected, you don't die anymore. I'm talking about true resurrection now. They were all resurfaced, brought back into the scene of life. They showed back up because he called life back into them. And so they lived until their natural departure again. And so when we begin to see this and understand this, we know how powerful resurrection life is. And certainly again, verse 3 says, they entered in and did not find the Lord Jesus' body. But my question is, Why were they looking for it? The stone was rolled away. That was clear it wasn't rolled away for them. Nobody had been given notice that they were going to come back and anoint his body. That's one of the reasons why in the other writings that the people knew that they had an issue, because they weren't expecting anybody to be there to roll a stone away. And so the stone is rolled away, and so they go in. Verse 4 says, listen, it happened while they were greatly perplexed. What were they greatly perplexed about? It's in the text. About this. Y'all stick with me for just a little while. Now, what were they perplexed about if they believed in what Jesus said? They were perplexed because they heard him, but they didn't believe him. And so that brings me to Sunday mornings on many messages that the people of God hear, but they don't believe. They see it in their own Bibles, but they don't believe it. They hear with an anointed word from God that God himself resonates underneath their skin, the truth, and yet they don't believe. How could they believe it? If they had believed it, they would not have come there with their morning clothes on. They would have come there with their praise clothes on. They wouldn't have come with spikenards and oils to anoint his body. They would have come there rejoicing and praising God. Matter of fact, if they really believed what this word said, and had they really believed Jesus, they would have shown up to this place, but they would have shown up as a welcoming committee. They would have shown up, but they would have shown up just a little bit earlier than what they had shown up, because they would have been anticipating his getting up. But they did not. Religious people, but they didn't believe. So don't you think that everybody that go to church believe the word of God. Don't you think that everybody whose name is on the membership roll believes the Bible. There's some that come, but they do not know, nor do they have the revelation and the truth of God's word and fellowship with God's spirit. And so as a result, they do not act accordingly. Let's move on to the word a bit again. It says, it happened while they were greatly perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. Now, the clothes dazzled because they had glorified bodies. They, listen, dazzled because of the brilliance of these two angels. Listen at this. The glow of them showed up through the clothes. And so the Bible says, becoming terrified, they bowed their faces down to the earth. If you check scriptures, when they came into the presence of angels, many times out of fear and reverential respect, they would bow down in reverence and respect to them. And they did so no different, but fear is added to this. And so the Bible says, becoming terrified, they bowed their face down to the earth. They said to them, this is again the angel speaking, why do you seek the living among the dead? Now I want you to know, they didn't just go in and come out. The record is they were seeking him. They went in, and the reason they were perplexed was because when they went into the tomb, they looked around, didn't see Jesus nowhere, and they were trying to figure out what happened to him. Not only what happened to him, but where is he? Not only where is he, but who took him? And so there were questions after questions after questions that caused them to be perplexed while they were there in the tomb looking for Jesus. They were hoping to find his body that had been displaced by somebody, but it never occurred to him or them that he had gotten up from the dead and had risen again. And so they were perplexed with all of these questions. And so there the angel says, he isn't here. Can't you see? You're seeking him, you're looking for him, you're trying everything, trying to figure out reason to rhyme. It makes no sense to you because he spoke to you. Listen to what this word says. He isn't here, but let me tell you, since you don't know what happened, but he is risen. But he is, but is risen. Now that might have perplexed them. That might have really confused them. Because they didn't understand. They were looking for a living Jesus in a dead place. First of all, the angel says, you've got this thing twisted. You're in the wrong place looking for life. You don't look for life in dead places. When you look at scripture, the only people who dealt with dead people were either professional folk or folk who were possessed. I think I'll say that again. I said the only people in scripture that dealt with dead folk were either folk who were professional folk or folk who were possessed. You remember the man who was possessed, that was demon-possessed, and he went in the Gadarenes and he lived in the tombs with the dead? Listen, he had his clothes ripped off of him. He would cut himself. He'd fall into the fire. He'd fall into the water. And listen, nobody in that quiet community ever bothered him. He'd shout and knock on their doors and they wouldn't bother him because he was possessed. And listen to that, he didn't have a problem living among the dead. And so sometime, my brothers and sisters, when we have an encounter with Jesus, and even if we find ourselves possessed and living among the dead, if we ever meet Jesus and we are set free by Jesus, then we are free indeed. And so when this man had been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, those who had known of him before time found out that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed and in his right mind. See, I got news for you. When he came to himself, he put his clothes back on. Now, I can say another word about you folk who have dress and going out and everywhere. I can tell you about another possession, but I just want to move on here. He put his clothes on and sat down. I can tell you another message about all y'all got to do all that walking. Can't sit down. Don't let the word get through because you something stirs you up. Don't want to hear that word. You can't rest underneath the word. But when deliverance comes, you can sit down with your clothes on and be in your right mind. Lord, I wish I had somebody today. And so, my brothers and sisters, he was not in the place of the dead because they were in the wrong place. They missed his exit out of the tomb. They missed it. They missed the excitement of that moment when Jesus himself proved that he was who he said he was. They missed the excitement of that moment. They were there mourning. They were there looking sad. They were there looking for Jesus in a dead place who was alive. Yes. And so my brothers and sisters, even when we come to church on Sunday morning, no wonder, no
No wonder we miss Jesus sometimes. Because Jesus don't